According to the mayor's chief legal advisor, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's office has received subpoenas from both state and federal prosecutors, as investigators pursue a series of coordinated corruption probes that extend from City Hall to the police department. City Hall has been subpoenaed by the New York County District Attorney's Office. The subpoenas came after the leaking of a January report from the State Board of Elections that accused the mayor and others of intentionally evading campaign finance contribution limits in 2014. Investigators have also examined whether high-ranking New York City police officers received gifts from businessmen in exchange for favors.
Man, let me tell you, is it Christmas? Because I'm feeling really happy right now hearing about de Blasio being subpoenaed and a bunch of his boys, his cronies, about to go down. His men and women in crime. CD94, my name is JDR, live on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on Podomatic.com, DavidRobinson@Blogspot.com, PowerQuant@your-4G.com, don't forget the YouTube channel, and we are also on SoundCloud. De Blasio! Ho, 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 ho! See you later, chump! I hope. Let's roll the dice! Come on now! Anyway, sit back, relax, and fun.
Yeah, it's one of the largest takedowns in history here for us. I want to show you, though, the 43rd Precinct. This is where the action's been taking place. See the van there, placed there, and then hundreds of law enforcement officials have been in and out. And just a few moments ago, we got our latest wave of arrests coming in to the 43rd Precinct here. Take a look at this video. Five different locations they converged on at 2:30 in the morning when you were sleeping. About 1,000 law enforcement officials, a massive sweep. Some are calling it the largest in city history. We're hearing they're all alleged gang members. A massive gang takedown is what one source told me. We're waiting for the next wave of arrests by Homeland Security. Vans have been coming in here and there. We're talking the DEA, the U.S. Marshal's Office, the FBI, and of course the NYPD working in conjunction back out here live. We're waiting for the next wave to arrive. We also have Air 11 up above because what we're hearing is they're bringing some of these buses in these vans in the back of the 43rd precinct. We're monitoring the back of the 43rd precinct as these arrests are coming in. We're also being told that the U.S. Attorney's Office and the NYPD back out here live may have a noon press conference because the details, of course, not so much, but we are hearing it is one of the largest takedowns of alleged gang members we've seen in our city. Of course, as those details come out, we're going to bring them right to you. For now, we're live at the 43rd precinct in the Bronx. Monica Morales, Pix 11 News.
Hey there, folks. This is JDR. You're listening to CD94 on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS. Sounds a lot better now, right? Because I started off, I kind of went live. I didn't, you know, do the whole headphones and microphone thing. I just went, straight into the laptop. And, it's hollow. It has that really nice kind of live feeling, in my opinion. But I'm glad to hear about them taking down these hundreds of guys. Now, you always have to think about folks, when 100 guys get busted and they're all in a gang. You know, they probably all have priors. But the thing about it is, what can you get them on? You have to have enough evidence to even try these 100 gentlemen or people. Because if you don't have anything that's going to stick to 100 people, 50 of them might walk back out on the street and they'll load up. They'll get that gang back together and they'll get the other 50 guys out maybe somehow. Who knows? I can't stand gangs because, first off, these guys are a bunch of, they're not in touch with their masculinity. It's all about hate. It's all about money and how they can make the money and how they don't give a shit who they run over to do it, whether it's a 5-year-old, an 80-year-old, dog, cat. They don't care. They're there to make their damn cash. And if they have to take over your damn apartment building to do it, then they will do it. And this is sickening. I don't like that at all. All these guys can go down. But don't think, folks, because they made that bust of 100 guys that all of them are going to jail. They have to have enough evidence because these guys are all going to, they're all going to have attorneys that will repute anything that the prosecution throws at them. So it's not going to be an easy thing to get all 100 of these guys put away. But we got to put some of them away. I just hope it. I would like to see 100. I don't think it's going to work. Well, give me 50. Give me 50. And you get the other 50 at a later time. That's how I feel about it. But we have to get these gangs off the street. A lot of them, a lot of these brothers can be educated, but a lot of them can't because they come out of jail. They come out of prison and they haven't learned jack. So they just hit the streets again because that's all they know and they get right back into this stuff. And then all of a sudden they want to be Tony Montana, Say hello to my little friend. I would rather like to use the phrase, say hello to a lot of jail time. Anyway, you're listening to CD 94. I shall return.
A human rights group says 27 people were killed in an airstrike that hit a hospital in Syria. Let's show you some video. This is video that we received just a short time ago, and it shows the aftermath of the attack that witnesses say the Al-Quds Field Hospital in Aleppo was struck by a missile from a fighter jet. Now, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says three children and three doctors are among the dead, among them one of Aleppo's last remaining pediatricians. Our international diplomatic editor, Nick Robertson, has been following this story for us from London. He joins us now. And Nick, an airstrike has hit a hospital in Syria. What more have you learned about the attack and its deadly aftermath?
Well, one of the last pediatricians in Aleppo dying is hugely significant. This hospital has support and help from Doctors Without Borders, MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, and from the ICRC, the International Committee for the Red Cross. The International Committee for the Red Cross say that because this health facility has been targeted, this is not an accident. It was a direct strike, according to the MSF. Because this hospital has been targeted, now millions of people's lives are now put in grave danger because they're not going to have access to the sort of medical care that they need when there's a conflict raging around them. What the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says is if you take the last 6 days in Aleppo alone, 148 civilians have been killed. Now think back, just a week ago we were talking about a cessation of hostilities in Syria that was allowing peace talks in Geneva to take place. Now we're talking about these staggering numbers, 148 civilians in the last 6 days killed in Aleppo. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights breaks that down further. They say that 99 of those civilian deaths were on the opposition side, 49 of those civilian deaths on the regime side, resulting from opposition shelling. What the situation is as far as the peace talks are going, and it is symptomatic, this escalation of violence that we're witnessing, this targeting of the hospital by what appears to be the regime air force, is having a direct impact on the peace talks in Geneva. The opposition have left those peace talks, put their participation on hold. The UN Special Envoy, who oversees those peace talks, is talking in very dire terms. In the past 48 hours, he says, there has been one death, one Syrian death, every 25 minutes, and one person wounded every 13 minutes.
Yeah, folks. This is JR, CD94. Live from Jamaica, Queens, New York. You know, war is hell. And I sympathize for the innocent. You know, the people that, you know, are paying the taxes, barely is, you know, in places like this, you know, with dictatorships and stuff, a lot of people suffer. I mean, look at North Korea, you know, and I mean, you know, they have their people over there in North Korea hypnotized. That's why they have the third largest army in the world, because these people are just hypnotized thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, while they're chewing on tree bark. You know, because the government doesn't give them any money. For one thing, they're under sanctions. And they just aren't doing it. You know, it's like a... how can I put it? It's you know, it's like a corrupt business, you know? It's like a Bernie Madoff in a way. You know, this government is, you know, just doing bad things. That was Korea. And then you think about Syria. It's the same thing. It's a guy in power with a whole lot of money and a whole lot of influence as long as he stays in his country, and he detriments his people. You know, where he's like just pushing his thumb down on the people that may have trusted him and, you know, voted for him, or I don't know how the process is in Syria. Of course, I think it does come down to a vote. But, you know, to be betrayed like that, You know, it's like in China, when you want to speak up, they shoot you. And this is just all a very sad thing. And you want to help, but you know what? It's like I always say, it's the human element. It's always going to be in this life, the good guys versus the bad guys. It's going to always be that way. And you have to always think that once, unfortunately, once you knock out a bad guy, another bad guy comes along and you're like, Jesus Christ, what is there, like a conveyor belt? You know, it's kind of bananas because people just, not everybody thinks the same way. You know, and in the things where we should be thinking the same way, meaning friendship, no wars, jobs, and a good economy so that everybody can live, everybody can at least take care of themselves. You know, they don't all have, we don't all have to be rich. Of course, we all want to be rich, but that's it. If you think about it, it's an impossibility. There's going to always be people that make more than other people, you know. But if you can just get it to the point to where we say, listen, okay, I'm happy. I'm happy. I can feed my kids. I got a car. I got a roof under my head, whether it's an apartment or a house. You know, you got money you can manage. Because they always talk about managing money. I know in my case, I can't manage money because I never have any. What am I managing? The only thing I'm doing is paying. I'm not managing jack. You know? But we have to get rid of the hate first. My computer, yeah, just telling me something. You know, we have to get rid of this, the bias against one another. Because the bias is always, I don't feel the same way that you do. So for that reason, we need to fight. And this, that is the most, it is the most basic and dumbest thing that rules this fucking planet right now. I don't believe, or I don't think the same way you do, and therefore we must fight. Seriously? I mean, come on. Let's just go out, smoke a joint, have a beer, and forget the whole thing. Unfortunately, it's not that way with the big people. And of course, you know, you have to think, there's a whole lot of conspiracy going on when it comes to the upper echelon, the government. Well, the rich people and the government, you know, and the corporations. All these CEOs and all these big people with all this cash in their hand are the ones that are always fueling these types of separation, confliction. You know, it's always the upper echelon, because the guys on the bottom are always working. Gotta pay my bill. Gotta pay the child bill, and you know, and gotta get food for the child and Pampers, and the Eminem song. You know, it's always the upper echelon people that are doing that. You know, the governments. That's what do you think the governments are there for? They're there. They are there to kick you in the ass, basically. You know, and take money from you, and hope that you never have the wherewithal to think about being an entrepreneur and all of a sudden a billionaire or something like that. They don't want that to happen. Well, yeah, they do. They do, because they tax you. And then you become a part of them. So I correct myself. It's crazy. I can ramble about that all day, but I'm not going to do it. Listen, I'm going to give my shout-outs right now to the NYPD, the FDNY, SOS Wildlife, the ASPCA, North Shore Animal League, meine Freunde in Deutschland, the brothers and sisters in the military, and everyone that listens to me. And just, you know, just always happy to have you around. Okay, I might be back. I mean, not. Yeah. Come party floor! Come party floor!
Donald Trump had a big week in the New York primary. The conventional wisdom 2 weeks ago seemed to be, okay, the party is getting to the acceptance moment. They've gone through bargaining, anger, denial. Now they're going to accept Ted Cruz. And then 2 weeks later, now we're going to accept Donald Trump. And a lot of the same people who said this guy would be a disaster for the country seem to now be saying, yeah, but we don't want to split apart the party. Aren't they putting party ahead of country?
I will leave that to you, sir.
What else is new, right?
Well, yeah, they are. They are. I think they should be against Trump in all circumstances. On the original point, which is that after Wisconsin, it was going to be Cruz, and after New York, it's going to be Trump, I don't think either of those are true. I think that there is no such thing at the moment as momentum. I think you have a divided party. I think you have a geographically divided party. There will be states now that Trump wins and states that Cruz wins. I think it's possible neither will win, and you're going to have a shit show of a convention in the summer.
But they're
yeah.
saying that Donald Trump has changed, that they've tamed him. And that's why they're able to get behind him now.
I mean, you know, he's been able to get us to adapt to absurdity. Okay,
that's right.
The mere so fact,
true.
And that's it's
so
only
and so scary.
The only achievement yes. he has been able to.
That's a big achievement.
But the fact that he doesn't drop trowel at one, you know, press conference means he should be on Mount Rushmore.
Right.
It's completely insane
right.
that we're even having a conversation about him.
No, that's. I think his greatest ability is his ability to get people to overlook his flaws and to forget. I mean, he had a horrible week. Only like, was it 2 weeks before when he said women should be punished for abortions? He was saying nuclear weapons, I think everybody should get them. allies, not so allies, a passing mental patient could have one. Yeah. Terrible, whining.
But he needs to get the Republican Party. He has no organization. How's he going to get out the vote if the Republican Party isn't somehow brought around? He sends his new guy, Paul Manafort, out to tell the Republican Party that he's going to...
Who is this guy, Paul Manafort?
Well, he's an old-time guy who knows how to run conventions and organize...
He looks like the undead. He's come out of the crypt, you see, and he's going to...
No, but he knows the party. No, he's the establishment. Trump needs that now in order to organize for the campaign, which he hasn't done anything to do. And so they're trying to tell the party that he's going to change, that they're going to fix his personality. These are direct quotes.
Well, you know what they say?
It's he can't do that. How's he going to change his personality?
Well, he doesn't have to, because they're presenting the scenario that it's a character. You know, it's like Andrew Dice Clay. Sometimes he goes, I'm just being Andrew. I'm not Dice now.
Yeah. Look.
And then Trump puts on the leather jacket. Hey, hickory dickory dock. A Mexican went up the fucking clock. Oh, that's just Dice. But that's not really Donald Trump.
Let me say something, though. It is important for liberals not to get too happy to put him down. Just because to put Trump down. I'll tell you why. He can win the presidency.
I agree.
This is the thing.
Anything could happen.
All these liberals say, he can't possibly win
right.
because 70% of African Americans hate him.
Right.
Well, hold on a second. That means, slow clap, man. Like, that's true. But you should be less happy. You should be terrified
right.
because that means 30% might be open to them, which means...
Dennis Rodman. Loves him.
Now, look, we live in L.A. You can't say that. we don't want to... So, listen,
all right.
but listen, seriously, if 30% of African Americans are open to him and half of those vote for him, he's president. In
right.
other words, African Americans have to vote 90% against him. So
right.
if 70% are against him, we're going to lose. So people need to calm down and get, no, people need to freak out.
Can I ask about...
Yeah. That's the thing. There's so much stuff to worry about. You know, the more you know, the more you don't know and shit. You know, like a lot of people be telling me, Dave, you know, you just gotta relax. The racism thing be bugging you too much. And I be thinking about it. Sometimes shit'll happen. You know, a lot of black people can relate to this. Have you ever had something happen that was so racist that you didn't even get mad? You were just like, God damn, that was racist. I mean, it was so blatant, you were just like, wow. Like, it almost like it didn't even happen to you. It was like a fucking movie. That was a, like you was watching Mississippi Burning. Wow. That happened to me. I was in Mississippi. I was in Mississippi doing a show, and I go to the restaurant to order some food, and I say to the guy, I say, I would like to have, and before I even finish my sentence, he says, the chicken! I said, what the fuck? I could not believe it. Could not believe that shit. This man was absolutely right. I said, how did he know that I was going to get some chicken? I asked him, I said, how you know that? How did you know I was going to get some chicken? He looked at me like I was crazy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Now, everybody knew as soon as you walked through the goddamn door, you're going to get some chicken. It is no secret down here that blacks and chickens are quite fond of one another. Then I finally understood what he was saying and I got upset. I wasn't even mad, I was just upset. I wasn't ready to hear that shit. All these years, I thought I liked chicken because it was delicious. Turns out I'm genetically predisposed to liking chicken. Said, why? I got no say in the man. I got ruined chicken for me. I'm scared to eat it in public. I want somebody to see me and say something. You know what I mean? Like you be eating some chicken.
Look at him. He loves it. Just like it said in the encyclopedia. Look how happy he looks.
Sometimes the world be too much to deal with. That show business be crazy. That's where the cultures really collide. Show business bring a lot of races together. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. This is one thing that happens that's funny. You know, sometimes I'll be on a business call, right? You know, like with a lawyer or something. You know, my lawyers be white. And like we'll be on a call, right? And they'll be like, "Oh, okay, Dave, we're gonna close the deal. Is that fine with you?" I'll be like, "Yeah, that's good for me. Great, great. You have a good weekend, Dave." I'll be like, "All right, you too, man. Peace." All right, bye bye. I don't know what to say, right? So sometimes, like. Sometimes I'll make up shit that's not even slang just to see how they handle it and shit. It'd be the same business go, "All right, we're going to close the deal. Is that fine with you, Dave?" "Yeah, sounds good to me." "Great. You have a good weekend, Dave." "All right, buddy. Zip it up and zip it out." "Oh. All right. Zippity-doo-dah. Bye-bye." Sometimes, you know, sometimes racism works out in black people's favor. Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Teddy R. I'm here with my friend Tawa Gran. And we want you to get your ass on together and hang out with us and get right.
beat, y'all. Ain't that stupid? Come on, get me. That's right. This is for you, people. About time for you people to get on it. Shake your stuff like you ain't never had enough. Too groovy for me. Listening to my man Tawa Kwan and rocking up with us and just getting right. I'm about to go backstage and get right. Oh yeah. See you at the next CD.
For all of us at the ASPCA, working to save the lives of animals is on our minds every day. And in the past year, I've been inspired by the outpouring of support we've received from members like you. Thousands of animals have been saved from deplorable conditions by our emergency responders, and thousands more were given life-saving medical treatment, and still even more were impacted by the passage of humane animal welfare laws in states across the country, laws that you helped us fight for. Whether rescuing innocent dogs from the horrors of dogfighting, responding to natural disasters, or putting an end to the cruel and inhumane practices on factory farms, our commitment to giving a voice to the voiceless is renewed every day. But our work depends on the dedicated support of people like you. Every day I am thankful for those who take time out to volunteer, to share our stories, and to donate. Thank you for making this another year of progress for animals and for saving lives with us every day.